Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Poi Interview. Okay, this is the eve before the big day. For those of you who know what it's like to go through a big day, this is the night before, okay? And we're going to do something very different. I'm going to, really essentially today is about you. You are going to pick up that call. You are going to send those voice notes. You're going to call me because we've been listening and hearing from political parties and politicians tell you how well they've done, how well they will do. I want to ask you, that sixth administration, how did they fare? Your own lived experience, not what they've told you they've done for you, wherever you live, okay? Not what they've told you they've done for you, but your own lived experience. And you can break it up. You can say, well, look, in terms of my municipality, this is how I feel. In terms of my province, this is how I feel. In terms of government in general, national government, this is how I feel. I'd love to hear from you. Let's give them a rate card. How do you fare the sixth administration? 086-00-00959. You can also send the voice notes on 063-688-0959. So we'll unpack it all. We'll start with the crime scenario. We all know what the crime scenario is like in the country. We've spoken about it. We've heard from politicians. Let's hear from an expert. Ian Ellis is a criminal law expert on the line with us. Thank you so much, Mr. Ellis, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. Good evening to the listeners.
So we've had enough time to look at the crime stats and, you know, their numbers and all of that. But we've also seen on the ground just how the machine of crime, in a way from where we sit, has become quite organized. Your sense of the crime scenario in the country.
Okay. Let's put it in this way. Crime has advanced while our police forces actually regress. Not that we haven't got hard-working police officers and quality police officers, but in the past, they say, maybe 5-6 years, we've lost 10,000 qualified detectives to the private sector. Mm. Now, that's a big problem in its own right, because not only are you losing trained and trained resources for crime busting, what are you replacing them with? A lot of the new guys that are coming in are very poorly educated. They have no respect for the authority of wearing a police officer's uniform, and they're not equipped. In fact, a lot of them are even coming with their own criminal records, which makes it even worse. So that has another rollover effect, that the crime is going to get worse because your police have got direct links into crime syndicates, which then you're overpopulating your crime busters with your criminals, which is the first problem. Secondly, we've escalated into, we have three out of the top four most violent cities at this present moment. There is no grasp on crime control. The police are failing. They're under-resourced. The new recruits are not entirely capable of holding a firearm, let alone going ahead and busting crime. And your criminals are becoming more advanced. Their technology is better. Their resources are better. Their funding is better. And unfortunately, our Minister of Police at this present moment is too busy following his own agendas, which is the fight he was activists and other issues and other agendas. The fact is that our own ministers are being protected by private security firms. What does that say about your police? That says it all.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you've mentioned, that the police, the new recruits themselves, you know, are not really well trained. Have the standards of training dropped? Yeah.
The problem is that the senior guys who were passing on the knowledge have left. Some of them have died. Some of them have immigrated. Some of them have just said, you know what, to hell with with public service. We're going to go into private service. They've opened up their own private security firm. They've gone overseas to work with other private security firms. Remember, we at one stage had one of the top laboratories mm-hmm. with regards to forensic science. It's still good. Yeah. And our forensic crime scene and our forensic investigators are still good, but you're not getting in those people anymore because the department is not being funded to bring in the individuals and the qualified individuals with those necessary degrees to start taking over those jobs. Your labs are overburdened. You can't be operating with two labs in the country.
Yeah.
And now adding on additional DNA and other software, if it's not resourced, that is why we also have backlogs.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing is getting, it's all been a bottleneck, and it's bottlenecking on the point that it's exploding. It's not, nothing is getting done because the courts can't service everything, and now we're taking on, especially with the police, there's this over-infatuation with stats,
mm-hmm.
and the stats to bust soft crimes, and you know what? Yes, drunken driving, serious offence. Possession of narcotics, serious. But at the same time, our violent crime is escalating. Who cares when you're convicting 500 people of driving over the limit when you can't go ahead and bust a cartel for hijacking? That's the problem where you actually come. Your stats look great, but your results are poor.
So what we saw, let's bring it back to what we saw as late as yesterday. We were seeing really Mthatha and the Eastern Cape, you know, become a war zone to the point where the Premier has asked for backup and has asked the army to step in, where you were hearing that the people who had instigated some of the violence were forcing the police to bring back their weapons. I mean, where in the world?
The fact is, the weapons that the criminals have at their disposal are stolen from the police and the Navy. That is, and the army. Where on earth, where in other countries are you hearing police stations getting robbed from their guns? This is a police station. This is the biggest gang in South Africa, and they are getting robbed like a corner shop.
So I don't. I mean, of course, the idea and the point of all of this is not to be alarmist, but as we are watching, we are seeing, as you said, better funded gangs. The criminal syndicates are more organized, more structured. Where does that leave us, especially with the fact that we're not pouring in enough funds to capacitate the police right now? And, you know, there are questions about some of the members in the police themselves and their links to the criminal world.
The problem is that at this moment, if there isn't a change in not only the... And you see, it's not just where it becomes the policing. And this is what people forget. It's an interconnectivity. It's the police department. It's correctional services when the guys are locked up. It's the prosecuting authorities when matters are going to court. If they do not work in sync, it's no use having a prison system filled with first offenders on trivial offences, but your main dangerous people are not behind bars, and then you're trying to put everybody, violent and non-violent offenders, in, and you've got overpopulations, so then you have to pardon everybody and get bail. They all have to work in sync, and this is where the problem, they're not working in sync. The Department of Correctional Services are doing their thing. The Department of the Police are doing theirs. The prosecuting authorities and the Department of Justice are going down their routes and of what they need to go ahead and achieve and want to show. It's almost like Pac-Man in a way. All you see is this random pattern of cars chasing after the biscuits and nobody actually accomplishing the task at hand, and that's what they're supposed to do. Look at, resource the department, resource your prosecution. If you can't do that, then they're going to end up having to look at privatization of the national of our police force and nationalization towards our correctional services. And we saw what a disaster that could actually be with Donald Bester. and then looking at elements of that, of privatizing the prosecution.
So again, as I'm saying, when you look at leadership, at the leadership level, what would have to change? There's no problem now, Ian, because it's the end of the administration, and maybe you're giving some tips to the incoming president.
let me put it to you this way. Number one, Mr. Tseli must be removed as the Minister of Police. Mm. And they must overhaul the complete police department. His job has been disastrous. His reign in running the police has been an absolute disaster. Minister of Justice, Mr. Lamola, must also reconsider what his stances are going to be going forward. And instead of just introducing tidal waves of new legislation, how are you going to implement that legislation where there's a contravention of it? So instead of bogging down the system, you need to fix the system. You need to go ahead, instead of the courts working, to go ahead and suit certain inept individuals within the structure, get rid of the ineptitude, get more qualified people in, and start improving your structure so that your Justice Department flows smoothly. And that stuff is, and that the courts are not inundated and backlogged for the next 4 or 5 years. Secondly, with correctional services, they need to start double checking and verifying, especially with regards on issues of parole, how they're going to be handling it, and what is going to be ultimately the treatment and the handling of what takes place in our prison systems, whether there is a possibility of rehabilitation or whether or not there's got to be almost like more of a diversion-based profile for first offenders, and that they're going to focus on maximum security and putting away the criminal cartels. It's almost the aspect, if one could use an example, it's no use locking up your bottom of the ring drug user when you've got your kingpins and your cartels driving past the police, waving at them, throwing them some money in their Mercedes Benzes, and you're sitting and arresting the guy who's got a heroin addiction.
Let's take it to its umpteenth degree, and I'm thinking now of the kingpins, because actually, Ian, you would have to correct me, but even as the kingpins themselves land in prison, it doesn't stop the trade. So it's a much bigger problem, and that's what I'm grappling with.
The thing is that there's always a replacement. It is a sophisticated business structure. And the problem is, and this is where I'm coming back to the issue of correctional services, and let's look at certain elements of this whole double bester mess up and the debacle. The fact is, even if we don't look directly at that escape and all the other controversies, here was a guy sitting inside a prison cell running several businesses. Yet, there he is with Wi-Fi, sitting in a cell, in clothing. Where are your correctional services officers keeping an eye on that? That it shouldn't even be possible that he has got access to those type of facilities in a maximum security prison.
So, if let's just take the names away and we ask about the leadership, and let's just say maybe people anyway, it's a new administration, they'll be shuffled. What kind of a leader are we looking for to run the police? I mean, we've heard of the kind of profile we're looking for, but maybe you can give us that kind of profile.
What you need from a police minister, first of all, is somebody with some real experience, and experience at the highest level as a ranked official. Somebody who is used to working and rotating through murder and robbery, violent crimes, organized crime. One is a person who, even if they're not coming directly from the police, who's been a part on the legal team from a special investigation unit, somebody who's understood and comes from the background of understanding how it actually works and where the holes erode. That is what you need. You need somebody who basically has a as an outlook on policing and what policing needs to be. You don't need somebody who, at the moment, is walking around and talking. You need somebody who's got action and who can say, this is what we've in actual fact seen. So a proper ranked police official who has experience and has actually got a success rate, not a politician.
I'm going to take a voice note, if you don't mind, Ian. A voice note coming from Bonso in Soweto. Let's take a listen.
Oh, well, I hope it's not Becky Tilly, because I think he's
erupted.
So,
there's no big guys.
Happy.
Just, it's definitely not him. Let's just take a listen.
We don't have Apollos. It's dark. These Nyaupe guys, these Nyaupe boys. Batola chance, yao tshwara poo. Because it's dark, you can't even see motho o tlang ko pela gago or o tlang ko morao ga gago. Go le fifi a gona di Apollo. You know, bomme ba tsamayang go seng ba ile palama di taxi. You'll hear someone who sends anel ko ntlung preparing yourself to go to work. You'll hear someone saying, Vimba! Vimba! Vela, obviously, so o tseba gore go na le motho monketseng person or monketseng whatever. So I, no.
Okay. Of course, Ian, I mean, what she's saying is even the environment doesn't look safe. We don't have enough lighting and so on. People just don't feel safe walking down the streets.
There's actually a bigger problem in that. And one actually has to take a look. Is besides from the effect that load shedding has had, there's been the vandalism and stealing of the cabling. Now, you've got a lot of extremely rough areas, especially in certain of the townships where they're high risk, there's a lot of gang activity, there's very little police monitoring. I've touched this before when I've actually discussed this. And the problem is, if those are not being policed, how are your people feeling safe? Because then you want the community, and this is the biggest problem where we've gone wrong, where I believe all of our commissioners and our minister, they want the community involved. If I'm sitting in a low-income area where the gangsters are the ones who are driving around and have the money and have no care about anybody's life, I'm not going to go in there and start snitching to the police of who's who. I'm going to hide for my life because they know the police can't protect them. Protection of witnesses and our formal witness protection program is absolutely worthless. If they're sitting ducks and now you want their involvement, they're too scared to go in. And plus, half the gangs are involved with the police. These poor people who would like to go ahead and do a service to the community are scared for their lives because they can't get any protection. And because the police are so inadequately resourced, those areas are just going to get more and more dangerous and violent.
All right, Ian Ellis, thanks very much for your take there. We are looking at government's performance in the 6th administration, and I'm taking your calls on 086-000-0959, and we can also listen to those voice notes on 063-688-0959. Your rate card, how are we doing? So we're looking at various things. We started with crime. We're going to be going into electricity next.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.